the first Sunday night of each month, and we are giving you a history of our life and how God has worked in our lives to bring us to the point that y'all have decided we're able to serve as elders. And so tonight, you have to listen to my lifetime. All of my life, ever since I can remember, I've had two goals. First one was to serve God always. It started when I was a little bitty boy. And with my grandmother saying, "You're going to grow up to be my elder," which is in here later. But and the other one was I've had an extreme desire to be an athlete of any sort back when I was younger, and then to be strong in whatever I do. So I was born in the middle of the Depression in Anson, Texas. My mother was a school teacher and superintendent of a two-room school where she taught the 6th through the 12th grades. She also sold for the public, and after 37 years of teaching, she sold real estate. To give you some feel of what the Depression was like, I was born after she taught school on Friday, and she was back teaching on Monday. Dad rode the rails to find ways to keep working through part of the Depression. The movies show you men in boxcars riding the rails, but that's not the way it worked. I still remember seeing that Dad had this big board that he would put across the axles under the train, and he would lay on that board, and they would not put him off the railroad that way. These men were not bothered. Dad was a deputy sheriff, a car salesman, a farmer, a soldier, a state congressman, and the building foreman at Camp Barkley when they built it. And then he spent 35 years at the post office while also selling real estate and insurance until he was 87 years old. Dad was a Christian all of his life. Mother was baptized at 19. I had three sisters, 6, 8, and 11 years older than I. We mostly took care of ourselves because Mom and Dad were always working. And I was mostly on my own after I was about 10 years old. But I had very strict rules that I was expected to follow, and I did follow them. Mother had a saying, "You want to go to the railroad tracks?" If I was doing something wrong, and I knew what that meant. And I straightened up real fast. Grandmother was known as the matriarch of Jones County. She was highly educated, having gone through the finishing school at Salado. She probably knew and lived the Bible better than anyone in Jones County. She helped move Abilene Christian from Thorpe Springs to Abilene, Texas. And from the earliest I can remember, she told me that I was to grow up to be an elder. Dad led singing, and his prayers were inspirational. But about every 10 to 15 years, he would slip badly with his life. And he had certain sins that he went headfirst into. And they might last 6 months, a year, maybe a year and a half or so, and then he was back living his life the very best he could. And he taught me both from the Bible and by example that every publicly known sin must be repented of publicly and confessed publicly if you're going to receive God's forgiveness. All churches taught this when I was growing up. They don't anymore. Mother was just a good woman. I do not remember ever hearing anything but good said about her. Her father was actually a genius in math, and she was an outstanding math teacher. Nearly all the men in our family were very large, well-built, very strong men. In fact, my name means the guardian of the king. I was born large, and I stayed very large until I had typhoid fever. My three sisters had it at the same time. We had a colored family living in our backyard with 13 children. Elvira Green was my wet nurse while Mother worked. With 13 children, she had milk for at least 26 years, and she was our nursemaid. We had city water, but they drank from a well that tested positive for typhoid. Dad tried to stop them from drinking the water, but she said, "We will not catch it." And Dad asked her why she was so sure that they wouldn't catch it. And she said, "Why, Mr. Davis, we praise." And not a single one of them caught it and continued drinking straight on through. One of my first major lessons from hearing this story many, many times is that God listens to prayers. My body was stunted from the typhoid, but my mind never changed from thinking that I was bigger and stronger than anybody else. That got me into trouble so many times. Since both my parents worked, I was allowed to start first grade at 5 years old. Seven was standard at that time, and you didn't have kindergarten. So I was always 1 to 2 years younger, as well as smaller, than all my classmates. We moved to San Angelo when I was seven. We lived next door to an extreme bully. He could, and he did, whip me very often, but he finally learned that it hurt him too much to win. I learned never to back down and never to give up if I was right. This has proved very important in living a Christian life. He helped to build my character. He would put my back in a big cedar tree and throw whatever season's ball was in season then at me. I learned to be an athlete from him. I could catch anything that was thrown to keep from being hit. I learned to outrun him instead of being tackled. I made the junior high track team in San Angelo when I was in the sixth grade. Junior high was seventh and eighth grade, but the sixth grade was in the same building. My job on the track team was to start 10 yards behind the rest of the team with a belt, and I was to hit each person that I could catch two licks, then pass on and go after the next one. I guess this is where I learned that being a leader is better than being among the last. I also learned there that there's consequences to life. I was baptized in San Angelo when I was either 11 or 12 years old. We moved to Texas City for my eighth grade and then across the tracks to Lamarck for high school. Dad traded jobs at the post office so the man he traded with could get away from the memories of 1948. Over 500 school children, and I think it was 386 townspeople, were killed when the two ships exploded and Montana burned. Every family had been touched. God taught me to be a caring person during this time. I also learned that tragedy could hit anyone and watched firsthand how God took care of his people. I was allergic to both carbon carbide plant and a tin smelter, so I was sick most of the time that we lived there. Lamarck was a real growth time for me spiritually. We had a fabulous youth group. There could not have been a better group of elders anywhere. There was total segregation in the nation at that time. There was also total segregation in the church. A black Christian family moved to Lamarck. They made arrangements with our elders that they could slip in the back after services started and leave during the last song. Our elders bought an army barracks and a lot and brought in Marshal Keeble to hold a meeting. About 10 families were baptized. They had no preacher, so our elders arranged for six of us boys to rotate preaching for them. I think I was either 14 or 15. Each boy was assigned to a deacon who came to our houses and helped us prepare our sermons. Later, we would then go to the White Church of Christ in Texas City Heights and preach the same sermon to them. I learned that everybody could find a way to work for God. Age didn't matter. We had area-wide youth meetings. At one of these, I debated whether Christians were allowed by the Bible to dance. I thought it was okay. The question was one of, could you dance without having impure thoughts? I thought it was all right because I was not influenced to thinking sexual thoughts at that time. Then at a party on New Year's, after dancing with a girl, she told me that her family had a beach house and we could leave the party and go to it. We did not go. But all of a sudden, I realized that each of us is not only responsible for our own thoughts and actions, but we're responsible for whoever we are with. Later, I realized that this applies to everything in our life. During my high school years, almost 100% of the members of the Church of Christ knew that instrumental music in worship was not something God had approved of for Christians. But the argument was a little bit different at that time. The discussion then was whether a song leader could use a pitch pipe or whether that was instrumental music. If so, then it was wrong. Several men were going to various churches showing that they could play the songs we sang with pitch pipe. I could not find a definitive decision for myself, and I could not lead singing without a way to pitch the songs, so I decided that song leading would not be a way that I served my God. My life was to be guided. If the Bible says do it, then do it. If the Bible does not say it, do not even consider doing it. I only lead singing now if there is no one else available. That is for my conscience sake, since I cannot prove that pitching the song was right or wrong. I don't bind that on anybody else, but I try to apply this principle to my worship. If the Bible says do it, do it. If the Bible does not say do it, have no part of it. About that time, I had my tonsils and adenoids taken out. The day I got back to school, we were making chlorine gas in chemistry lab. I had open healing cuts throughout my throat. One boy decided to have some fun, so he released his gas into the room. Soon the ones close to him had to get further away from the gas. Finally, the teacher had all of us leave the room. Teacher took inventory and Jimmy had not made it out. So he sent me back in to carry him out, which I did. And then the teacher decided somebody had to go back in and stop all 13 experiments that were making gas. It wasn't bothering me, so he said, how about you going in? I said, fine. I went back. Then the windows had to be opened. Guess who went back this time? That night, I went to sleep, and I did not wake up for 7 more weeks. The gas had gone into my bronchial tubes where the cuts were to take out the adenoids. So the rest of my life, I've got this cough, so I can't trust my voice to lead singing anyway. So God took care of it for me. Not leading singing was not a hard decision. It's funny. Back in high school days, I was considered the big liberal. I really have not changed many of my thoughts, but now I have become the big conservative. The church has moved that far. During high school, I worked 2 summers at the University of Texas Medical School, and part of my job was to spend time each day with survivors of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The impact that they had on my life is beyond description. You cannot imagine what some of them looked like and what their partners, who may have been standing there on the street together with them, not touched at all, and one, their faces melted, their hands melted and things. It was amazing to hear their stories, but it affected me very much. In addition to what Bruce had taught me about baseball, Dad had taught me that hitting a baseball was controlled by your feet. I could not hit hard enough to make a home run. I never made one. I think I made 1 triple. But my eyesight was so perfect that I could hit just about any pitch, and by the placement of my feet, I could put it wherever I wanted it to go. I always carried an extremely high batting average. I was picked up by the St. Louis Cardinals, and I played two exhibition games with them against the Baltimore Orioles at the Texas City Texans Stadium. The Orioles had a boy from Baytown playing for them. It was advertisement to build fans. Football was my favorite. Ninth grade, I came out for high school football. I weighed 88 pounds. They did not have any equipment to fit me, and the coaches were afraid I was so little I'd be hurt, so that year I was manager. The next year, at 100 pounds, I knew I could compete with anybody. We had a new coach who was not convinced. He said, "We have two boys that weigh 250 pounds each. If you can pick each of them up and carry them on your shoulder for 10 yards and then set them down, you can play." An assistant coach that knew my abilities and wanted me to play called me to his house. He told me that most people use about 10 to 15% of their strength. If I was to compete, I had to learn leverage and I had to use 50% of my strength. It took me a week to carry the tall one and another week to make it with the short, fat one, but I made it. They were right. I stayed broken up, but I learned that leverage applies to all of life, and especially using all of my strength was necessary to remain a Christian with what life throws at you. I did play two professional baseball games, offered a contract. I played intramural college football. Jeannie and I won the doubles tennis title at ACU. I made the track team, and I was the second best gymnast letterman ever at ACU, they tell me. And I later played basketball for the Redstone Arsenal Army team. At Redstone Arsenal, I'll never forget, the last game we played, I walked in, and the guy that I was to guard that night was 6'9", 280 pounds. I came back black and blue all over. But I did get to play. They told me I was the first gymnast in Texas to do an inverted iron cross. I did it. The Texas relays are going on right now. I did it at the Texas relays. I had been chosen that year to judge the gymnastics for the relays. And I always look back, and I think that assistant coach taught me very well. And for graduating high school at 107 pounds and college at 120, I think I did pretty well. I was taught determination, and determination is something you've got to have to live a Christian life. Nearly all of us boys played every sport. We sang in the choir. We played in the band. We just had 52 in my class. Playing football, I was trying my best to learn how to cuss with all the other boys. Shirley Jordan and I played saxophone. She told me that she was going to cure me of my bad habit that I was trying to learn. During a concert with what seemed like all of the whole town there, I missed a note and I said a cuss word under my breath. Shirley put her saxophone down on the floor, stood up, and slapped me almost out of my chair. She sat back down and continued to play. For weeks, everybody I would meet in town wanted to know why. I quit cussing immediately, and I learned that God can use anybody at any time to teach a lesson that needs to be taught. That's lived with me from then on. When I got to college, I had to try to find a way to pay my own way. My parents could help a little, but I had to pay most of it. So I went to see Oliver Jackson, and incidentally, Oliver Jackson was inducted into the Texas Hall of Fame last month, along with another one of our elder cousins, Bobby Mara. And Oliver was track coach. I asked him for a scholarship, and he asked what I ran and how fast. I told him, "Well, I've never been timed. I just win." So we went out to the track, and I ran a quarter mile for him. And he said, "You got your scholarship." But he'd never tell me how fast I ran. Still don't know. We lived across the street from him for several years. He would not tell me. But during my years at ACU, they had three of the four fastest men in the world, Bobby Morrow, Bill Woodhouse, and Earl Young. I think between them, four gold medals at the Olympics. The next week, I watched the gymnastic team work out. I told Mr. Jackson I'd rather be a gymnast, and he said, okay, but there's no scholarship for that. He said, but the school will find you enough work to pay your way. He did not tell me that a lot of it would be loading trucks at 40 degrees below zero with a big fan blowing like a hurricane on me. We would work until our faces were solid ice, and then we would come out into the hot sun, warm up 5 or 10 minutes, go back in and load trucks again. But everybody else was making 75 cents an hour at that time, and they were paying me $4 an hour. So it was well worth it. For my freshman year, they made me the teacher of the gymnastics class. The coach would explain to me what I was to teach that week, and then I had three classes of teaching it. My last 2 years, I taught biology, physiological hygiene, and again, I had never heard of the course. I had to learn it as I taught it. But because of Bobby Morrow, all the athletes from ACU got to run a mile carrying the Olympic torch from Abilene to Brownwood to open a football game. There weren't 80 of us, and it was 80 miles, so I got to run 2 miles. Later, when we lived in Tennessee and the torch was being carried from California to New York, I got to carry it another mile at that time. I learned that God can bless me by what somebody else does. I spent many years coaching Little League and Babe Ruth. Five of us boys worshiped at Cross Plains Sunday mornings when we were in Abilene. We thought we were missionaries. I did study with one lady in her 70s and taught her the gospel. She was the first person I baptized. And Jeannie says, don't tell them that they had pretty girls at Cross Plains. It was really why y'all were going. But I graduated from college with a wife, one child, and mother gave me $50. And she said, you've got degrees from the finest school in the nation and $50 cash. Go out and conquer the world. The next thing to talk about is marriage. I found a lady that was even more determined to please God in every way than I was. She was beautiful, both inside and out. I cannot imagine what my life might have been without her. I believe every Christian marriage needs to be a marriage between three: God and you and your spouse. God is always at the top, and when one of you is down, the other one can bring that one back up to what God wants. She has been beside me through every up and down in my life, holding me close to God. Jeannie's dad was an elder, and she has many preachers and elders in her family. The women were fabulous in their dedication and their service to God. And we have three children, one grandchild with us tonight. And then in 1958, five towns consolidated into making the Gymned School District at Tuscola. I was hired as their business manager, including being the tax collector. It was tough, because none of the students wanted to get along with any from any of the other schools. The rumor spread, I guess because of the gymnastics, that I was an expert in jiu-jitsu. I didn't tell them I wasn't. Our superintendent had been a lineman for the Detroit Lions. The kids were afraid of both of us. One day, Arnett Weeks held one of the biggest senior boys over his head, just held him up like that, and he walked from one end of the hallway to the other. The boy had thrown a book down the hall and said, I'm not going to take that book. And so Arnett lectured him. Everybody saw it, and from that time on, we had no trouble. I learned that there's a time for intimidation, and God used it throughout the whole Bible. And that one amazed me. About the second or third week at Gymned, the lawyers for the oil companies called for a tax meeting. I think I was 21 years old. I was one side, and about 150 to 200 lawyers were the other side. They refused to pay taxes. Finally, J. Paul Getty, one of the richest men in the world at the time, and Clive Cullors invited me to lunch. J.P. told me that if I would promise to reappraise every piece of real estate in the district before the next year, he would pay, and he would see to it that all oil companies paid that day. I learned that having powerful friends is valuable. This was true within the church also. Carl Spain, Overton Faubus, Ruel Lemons, Homer Haley, Willard Collins, Lynn Huff, John Stevens, Jim Freeman were just a few that reached down to help me. I learned that it's an important job, just like Barnabas, to lift up others as they're trying to lift a Christian life. And these men spent time with me, lifting me up. It was fabulous. One night, the school board called me in and told me that Jim Ned did not have enough students and not enough taxable property and said, do something about it. I was 22. I had nothing. So I borrowed the money to buy 20 acres. I dug and installed the water lines by myself, put in a paved road. I subdivided it, and I built 18 houses, mostly at nights and weekends. I liked building, so a year later I quit the school and started building houses full time. At the same time, I built a mortgage loan company, an insurance agency, a real estate firm, and a collection company. I built homes for 10 years in Tuscola, Abilene, and Clyde. And here I learned that being responsible for many people was hard work and a lot of stress. Later I learned that this really applies to church work. I feel a personal responsibility for every soul in this congregation. I learned that I must put God first, then family, then job, then me. And I've tried to live my life this way. God used everything possible to train me. I wasn't easy. One time when we had no money and we were really struggling, I had gotten enough money for a pot of red beans. There was nothing at all for our baby. We sat down and prayed that God would furnish some milk, and while we were eating, the phone rang. A neighbor was installing an air conditioner, and he couldn't lift it. So I went over, I picked it up, and I put it in the window for him. Got through, and he said, I don't have any money, but would you take a gallon of milk? Was that an accident, or was God building my faith? I loved building. And Jeannie and I wanted Abilene to be our home for all of our life. God had other plans. Dr. Varner and Cox Hospital were two of my collection company customers. Dr. Varner was the city councilman. I learned from him that Christians need to be a part of public life. So I've been secretary and president of both Lions Club and Rotary Clubs. I've been a city councilman. I've been head of the Planning and Zoning Commission. I've served on several boards at Abilene Christian, all because I think Christians need to be out in the public where sinners see our lives and want to come to Christ. One day, President Johnson and two lawyers came to visit us. They explained that if Abilene did not vote for him for president, he was going to destroy Abilene. We did not, and he did. After buying two of our savings and loan companies and two insurance companies that made loans in Abilene, on one day he moved two of the three SAC wings out and one of the two tax wings from Abilene. Abilene went from $140,000 to $79,000, a major drop all of a sudden. And later, he put 1,100 remodeled, repossessed houses on the market the first day. The government houses took zero down, zero closing costs. Builders' houses were 15% down and about 1,500 closing costs. Almost all the entire building industry in Abilene took bankruptcy. I should have, but I didn't. When I finally got rid of my last house, I owed $250,000. For 18 months, Jeannie and I and the children lived on absolutely nothing. I worked night and day, and I paid off all but $10,000 of it. About that time, two men showed up at our house and asked if I would like to be paid to go back to school and be one of 18 people trained in what the Army called their Rhodes Scholars, with the equivalent to a master's degree in law, a master's degree in contract management, in quality control, fire control and distribution, and procurement planning. I do not know why I was chosen. I don't know how they found me, but they did. And we moved to Redstone Arsenal in Huntsville, Alabama, where I was both in school and a contracting officer, and I handled the jobs that were over $100 million each. I really learned that God was in control of my life. I called my last creditors together and I asked permission to leave and to pay the rest as I could. It took me 5 more years to pay that last $10,000. But I learned that if you're honest and you put God first, God will provide a way. He always has. The biggest thing I learned with the Army was fire control and distribution. I learned where every nation had their nuclear weapons, how powerful each one was, and where they were aimed. My job was part of the planning of how to keep any of them from hitting the United States. I had always known that God and Satan are at war, and that you and I are participants. I don't think we teach that enough, but we are at war with Satan. I had not realized that somewhere, in some way, God has to have beings planning the fights, just like I was planning to keep America safe. Somebody was planning to keep me and my family safe for God. Some way this knowledge gave me more confidence that God is in control of everything, and I did not have anything to fear, and that applied to the rest of my life. We went to church at the Central Church of Christ in Huntsville. I was a deacon again and was assigned to J.D. Jones as my elder. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. He was a plumber. He would come and get me to go with him for many of his efforts as an elder. I learned from him what a true elder should do and be. He introduced me to the parallel of Aaron's children being elders and the rest of the Levites being deacons. Later, Ruel Lemons taught this much more deeply to me, showing the complete relationship. I had been a deacon in Abilene at both the Graham Street and Hillcrest churches, in Huntsville at Central, later at Lewisburg, Tennessee, and then at Westover Hills in Austin, a total of 32 years. All my life, God had put me in situations that were beyond my abilities. Some way then, He would make me successful. We moved to Teledyne Lewis in Lewisburg, Tennessee, and He really put me beyond my abilities there. I was, among many other things, in charge of designing and building 52 boxes of electronics on every Saturn and Apollo missile. I have told you the story of all my fingerprints being on the all my family's fingerprints being on the moon. I guess God made me successful there. I have 2 medals presented by the government that contain moon rock for my efforts on that. Something else at that time that was even more important to me. A young salesman came to my office and showed me a piece of 1-inch water pipe that he and others had filled with dynamite and beaten to about the size of a pencil lead. He could time the burn time of that pipe like a fuse. He burned 2 of them in my ashtray and showed me how he could time it. A few months later, an Air Force general called me from Washington, D.C. He asked to be sure that we were the company that had a system of unloading a C-130 cargo plane without landing it. And I told him, yes, we were. We had to have a bulldozer on the ground and a hole driller to plant 2 telephone poles and a strong wire between them so a plane could fly between them and with a hook pull the cargo out of the plane. Our ground crews were being killed. He asked if I could fix it where the plane could stay 500 foot above the ground and not require anybody to land, to be on the ground. I remember the fuse, and I told him, give me a month, and I think I can. Teledyne owned an explosive plant in California. I went out there and showed them what I wanted, and they packed a water pipe full of dynamite and extruded it to about 1/16 of an inch in diameter. I played with it until I could determine within a tenth of a second the burn time of a fuse. Then I made a block of metal to hold the fuse and place a small charge of dynamite in it that would fire a chisel through a rope. Using this, I could push a pallet out the back of an airplane, time its drop to open a parachute, and set it down easy. As the enemy weapons got more powerful, shooting at our troops, we raised the airplane's height to classified heights over 25,000 feet, and I could still put the whole cargo on a football field. We used math to do that. Math's important. Mother taught me good. This became the only forward distribution system for the Air Force for the rest of Vietnam, and I'm told it's still the one that's in use today. I'm not sure what God was teaching me this time. Maybe that He can choose a person to do some little thing to make a big difference in war, whether it's physical or spiritual. Maybe just that He's still in control of the world. Again, I was under wonderful elders in Lewisburg that helped me grow in my service to God. As a deacon, I had been over the educational department of all four churches I had been at, and then again in Austin. I also taught the adult classes nearly the whole time I was at each of these places. The more I taught, the more I grew. My next thing was God having me doing something bigger than I was. We won the contract to build the most modern communication equipment for the 10 new DD-963 class destroyers. About the time we were finishing them, I got a call from the CIA. Yes, I flew to California and I met two men under a bridge in a bad part of town. And yes, I was scared to death. But we worked out an extreme deal where I was to go back to Tennessee and I'd build a complete set of communication equipment for every ship in the Nationalist Chinese Navy. They were the true Chinese government, and they were still at war with the ones that we now deal with. Teledyne got about $500,000 bonus when I was finished, and the CIA paid for my first factory when we moved here. I really had to trust God during this time. It was extremely hard on my job, my wife, and my children, and it could have been very hard on my faith. My boss was not even allowed to know what I was doing, and it made him very mad. The CIA arranged for me to meet with the ambassador of Nationalist China in Washington, D.C. to finalize the contract. This is very important. It was a 3-day meeting. The first day was spent verifying that my clothes were adequate and proper. They cut my hair. They gave me a manicure. They polished my shoes. The second day was to teach me how to conduct myself while in the ambassador's presence. For example, at the beginning of our meal together, he would offer a plate of sushi to me. I had no idea what sushi was. We didn't eat it in America at that time. I was to graciously refuse it. Later, he would offer it again. I was to refuse it a second time, and that would show that I would not be greedy in any of our negotiations, and I would not take advantage of him in any way. Toward the end of the second course, he would offer it a third time. I was to accept it, take a small to medium portion, and eat it all. This was to show that I would accept things that would make China proud and that we would be a partner with them. I must have done all right because the third day I signed the contract. I knew how superior God is to any person, but here I saw how royalty is to be treated on earth, and God is royalty. It verified to me how I must act in the presence of my supreme being. He is my God, and Jesus is His Son, and they should be treated as such. I should remember my place even as an adopted son. Another major item at Teledyne occurred in Peru. Collins Radio and Teledyne had taken a 400-pound military forward telephone system that took 4 men to carry, and we had reduced it to about 10 pounds. I was meeting with the Peruvian Joint Chiefs of Staff, competing with the Russians, to furnish their military with these radios. I had already sold them to Pakistan, Afghanistan, Spain, and several other countries. It was supposed to be a 2-day trip. Each day for 2 weeks, we would meet at 9 o'clock, and one of their 5 generals would not show up. The other 4 would not hold the meeting because they were afraid that the one that missed would kill the rest of them. A different general each day would be missing. So they'd say, "We'll see you in the morning," and I would go sightsee. One day, I asked a cab driver to take me someplace tourists did not normally go that he thought I would enjoy. He had a place in mind, but it'd take all day and part of the night for the trip, but we went anyway. There was a hill that was flat for at least 10 acres, maybe 20 acres. There were holes about 10 feet deep and shaped like bottles, as close together as they could put, covering this entire acreage on top of the mountain. I got down into one and I could almost reach across, so you can see how big these holes were, and about twice as tall as I am. I don't know, 10 foot deep, I think I said. Anyway, there was still grain pressed into the sides of these holes, so you could tell what had been stored there. He told me that about 4,000 years ago, a man named Joseph came in a boat from Egypt to South America and told him that God had, told them that God had told them there'd be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of drought. This was their storeroom. If you read the Bible carefully, you'll see that Joseph's story covered all the earth, not just Egypt. It was positive proof to me that my belief that God is a worldwide God and not a local God of Israel is true. It verifies the love of God for all mankind. He wants every human to obey Him and to go to heaven. It really hurts Him when we refuse to obey, or even when we lose our souls by only obeying part of His requirements. We moved to Cedar Park. Shortly after moving to Cedar Park, I was a deacon at Westover Hills, and on 3 occasions declined being appointed an elder because I did not believe I was qualified at the time. Roel Lemons and I were very close friends, and I imagine most of you know he was one of the greatest Bible heads, knowledge, that you could dream of. But at his request, one other man and I reviewed every one of his sermons to verify that what he was teaching was scriptural. You talk about a growth period for me. That was fabulous. I was put in charge of the education department with the added function that I was to keep all liberalism out of every adult class. This was very difficult since there was one elder and one deacon that were extreme liberals. When Rule died and I left, the liberals took over, as you know. I learned the biggest threat to church comes from within. We're losing churches all over the nation because of this. Satan will work extra hard to control an elder or a deacon, and we have to spend much time and effort trying to stay faithful. Rule was very close to ACU President John Stevens and his daughter Doobie Ray. They caused me to be put on several boards, and they helped me to grow in both knowledge and influence. This led to probably the greatest honor I have ever received. 3 large groups nominated me to be the next president of ACU. There was a group of preachers, a group of businessmen, and a group of school teachers. The selection committee again surprised me with the statement that they rated my knowledge of the scriptures and my understanding of God to be within the top 100 people in the nation. I didn't think I was qualified, and I said no. I'm sure I would have been eliminated anyway. But this is the highlight of my efforts to serve God. Royce Money was chosen, and we all know what disaster that was for the university and for the church nationally. I couldn't have been worse than he was. Our children started attending many of the youth functions at Leander. Two liberal families placed membership here at Leander, and the elders, Cluck, Whaley, and Fountney Davis, sent Cecil Alexander to see Kendall Henderson, Ray Sunday, Jim Fry, and myself, asking us to move our membership here and to help them contain the problem and also to fill the building that they were planning to build. Kendall and Ray came, but Jim and I did not. Cecil was sent to see me again and to see Jim again, and we still said no. BW came to me and sold me bonds on the new building they were building. And later, Jeannie and I moved to Leander from Cedar Park, and this was just enough miles further that we could not continue driving to Westover Hills, so we started attending here. I was appointed an elder in the mid-80s. I joined John Simmons, BW, and Joe, and we agreed on almost everything that the church had, because of our agreement, I think, of being scriptural, the church here had enormous growth. It was fun. It was the fifth congregation I had been part of this extreme growth with. I'd been at Graham Street in Abilene, Hillcrest in Abilene, Lewisburg, Tennessee, Westover Hills when they first started, and now Leander. But after several wonderful years, when we had grown from about 200 to about 400 here, Satan found a way to derail us. I don't know what, but for some reason, all of a sudden we dropped back and we've been on a straight slide down for the last 10 to 15 years. But I believe the potential is still here, and I have faith that God will again bless us with spiritual growth and will follow it with membership growth. We've got tremendous potential here. We need to use it. And we need to get strong in the Bible again, and we need to be strong where God will bless us again. Three more instances, real quickly, of God building my faith. One time, early in our marriage, we wanted to do something personal, but we didn't have the $35 it would take to do it. I've forgotten what it was. But our contribution at that time was $35 a week. I used it for the fun thing, and I didn't give to God that week. Tuesday of that week, my car broke down. Guess what it took to fix it? $35. I learned, never skip doing anything that I have promised God I will do. This was emphasized to me, especially when I was building a housing addition for R.S. Powell. He was an elder at Hillcrest. And when he didn't have money to make his contribution, he and I would go together to the bank, and he would borrow the money for his contribution for a Sunday. The third time was while we were here in Cedar Park. I had bought the old lime plant and had rebuilt it into our new factory. I had borrowed against it for buying it and for working capital with an SBA loan. On a Tuesday, men came to tell me that I had to make a $25,000 payment the next Monday, or they were going to take everything. I was behind. Lots of prayers followed. On Thursday, a tornado hit my building, and I thought, God, this isn't funny. I really need you to be on my side right now. Well, Saturday, the insurance appraiser came and told me, if I'd take $26,110, he would write me a check right then. So Monday, I was in San Antonio with the $25,000. The gas for the trip and the material I bought to repair and my lunch came to exactly $26,110. Jeannie, the children, and I gathered the wall from the pasture, and we rebuilt our plant where the tornado had hit. I learned that God does not forsake people who are trying to do His will. He will stay by you no matter what. It's been a gigantic pleasure to serve God with you. I think I taught here at Leander at least 20, 25 years straight, First, I taught in the auditorium with all the adults during the overall growth from about 225 to about 400. And then, because of Michael Myers, I don't see him in here, but we decided we needed young people. So we built the young adults from 3 to 45. I've seen individuals, and I've seen the programs blossom. And God has really blessed my family and me personally through all of my life. So many times I did not think I could do what he put in front of me. My poor wife has just had to hang on many times, and at others she's led. She likes to compare her life with me as trying, like Mary Poppins did, to just hang on as I drag her up, up and away. Many of you helped us raise our children. Thank you for being such a big part of our lives and for giving me the privilege of serving both you and God here. Thank you.